It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
This week on B-movie breakdown, we watch a movie that is straight class. Hold the gay. The movie I speak of is Pool Boy Drowning Out the Fury. This is B-Movie Breakdown, episode number 57. I'm Corey.
I'm Gina.
I'm Ryan.
This is a weekly podcast where we find the humor, enjoyment, and low-budget, lesser-known films of the past and present, home of the good, the bad, the what the fuck. Each week's movie will be revealed on the prior episode, so you too can join in on the madness. Like the macho madness.
Snap into it.
If only Macho Man had starred in a movie. Like, you know, like Hulk Hogan had that, like, had like kind of a film career in the 90s.
Oh,
if
man.
Only we got, like, even Roddy Piper was in a couple movies. But Hulk Hogan kind of took over that market and left poor Macho Man in the dust.
What was the weird dad movie, like, he was in?
Mr. Nanny.
Yeah, it was.
I loved every Hulk Hogan movie when I was younger.
Mr. Nanny. I remember yeah. it. I
Suburban
remember.
Commando?
I remember.
Christopher
Mr.
Lloyd was in Suburban Commando.
Oh, my God.
And at the end, The Undertaker. He plays one of the bad guys going after Hulk Hogan.
Of course he does.
And when he talks, he has a little kid's voice.
I only ever watched
Mr. He's like, you're a dead man, Whamsy. And it's like a little kid's voice.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Hilarious.
Is it dubbed? Or is
yeah,
it
it's dubbed. No, it's dubbed. But it's just coming out of The Undertaker is hilarious. Yeah, Hulk Hogan had some. I think they're. I wonder if there's some on Netflix. I'd like to revisit some of those. I know there's one called Ultimate Weapon that I used to like, and Assault on Devil's Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that was Three Ninjas. Never mind.
Yeah, that's that's not even he's barely in that
yeah.
movie.
He's on the cover though.
Another yeah, right? another one. I actually have the VHS tape of it. It's the first two episodes of the show. But they put it into a movie. It's Thunder in Paradise. It's a TV show he was on for like a couple seasons. And it was about, they drove this boat around and it was called Thunder. And where they lived was paradise. And it was Thunder in Paradise.
What
and they
year?
Drove this black boat. And it was like him and his buddy and like wrestlers guest starred on it. And they like fought bad guys.
It's not always paradise.
Must have been awesome to be a wrestler in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah. You get to be in... Well, wrestlers are in movies now.
I'm sure they're making more money now.
Yeah, they're making more money now, and they're in movies now, still, kind
yeah,
of-ish.
Yeah, John Cena's in every fucking middle video.
Yeah, he was in a couple movies, and I think they're like, hey, yeah, we're done with that.
My wife is dead again.
We want The Rock.
They're done with putting their wrestlers as the faces of movies. With they had that Halle Berry one come out. That was them.
Wait
the
a minute.
Call.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I remember thinking that was so strange because they had the trailer in the
network.
Theater and it just said WWE Films.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I think, like, I think they still throw a wrestler in there just like as like a tiny role or something. Like David Otunga was like in it or some shit. The last one they had come out with an actual wrestler as a star was direct to DVD, the Marine 3 Homefront with The Miz.
I can see
it was
the
on,
cover of it right now.
It was on IFC the other day. I was watching a little bit of it. I was like, you know what, this isn't so bad. But then The Miz comes on the screen and I'm just like, one, I already hate that guy. I can't stand him. And
The Miz.
So like he's already a bad actor and then I hate him. So it's like,
Well,
I'm really rooting for the bad guys to kill him because I can't stand him.
His bread's buttered in reality TV, after all. He's on The Real World.
Yeah, but now he's a whole lot of nothing.
I know.
He was WWE champion at one point.
I remember watching it.
Now he's kind of, lately in the past few months, has been playing punching bag.
Oh.
Like, he used to do like a Miz TV segment where he had people come out and every so often lately, anytime they've done it, it's like over with in 2 seconds, and somebody just comes out and beats the shit out of them.
Shut it down.
Yeah. Even the other nights, they were the Randy Orton, who was actually in the 12 Rounds sequel. The 12 Rounds was a John Cena movie.
Oh, shit.
He came out because he's the champion, and he told The Miz that he is no longer relevant, worthless, and nobody cares about him.
Wow.
And I kind of felt like, you're sharing the thoughts of everybody.
I remember when he was, like, testing that character on Real World when he was first on it. Because he's, like, 19. And he would do, like, all the Miz voices and stuff. And
yeah.
I was like, dude, this is not going to happen for you. And then it did.
Yeah, he was on Tough Enough, and then he didn't win, but then somehow he got a contract. And his character is obnoxious and stupid, and he's, I'm the Miz, and I'm awesome.
I have no idea who he is, but he does sound
He's obnoxious. A douchebag, and he sucks. He's not a good wrestler.
He's Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah, back to the movie. Stardom was
Real World.
We got way off topic. We need to do a whole episode just so we can talk about a couple wrestling movies. Hulk Hogan and some Mr. Nanny. But anyways, you can reach us on our website, bmbpodcast.com, on Stitcher. We're available on there. On iTunes, check it out. Rate, review. Our email, bmbpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter, @bmbpodcast. And on Facebook, check that shit out. Now we're going to get to the movie Pool Boy, Drowning Out the Fury. Previously, we've, on this podcast, I think it was episode number 13 or something like that, I linked it in the episode with Body Bags. It's, we did FDR American Badass by Ross Patterson. He's an independent filmmaker, and he makes really ridiculous movies, and this is one of them. It's, Pool Boy is a movie within a movie within a movie.
The sequel to a movie.
You're watching a sequel to a movie that never was seen, but you're also watching the making of that movie, but then you're also watching little vignettes of,
like, behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
Director's cuts.
So. Yeah, it's like movie within a movie. Like, Kevin Sorbo plays Jan Van Hammer, who plays Sal Bando.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Robert Downey Jr. playing the Australian guy in Tropic Thunder, who played the black guy. It's like a,
pretty comparable.
Even though in the intro credits, they credited everybody with their movie name, but in the end credits, they only half the characters had movie names, and the other half were actually credited to the actor. So the nomenclature behind everything was kind of strange.
Yeah, like at the end, it was like Kevin Sorbo as Pool Boy, but it didn't say Pool Boy / Jan Van Hammer. It just said Pool Boy.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's
made about as much sense as like half of the things that happened.
Yeah, I mean, the movie. It really,
what am I trying to rationalize?
it's a really weird movie. I don't know. I like it. It's stupid and it's dumb, but sometimes I just like stupid dumb movies, and I love stupid dumb action movies from the 80s, like Miami Connection. This is like if Miami Connection, like never like it wasn't out, and then somebody made like a making of thing. And you only had, like, production footage and shit. Uh-huh. And that's what... This is like Miami Connection, almost. Like, in the sense of... Like, it was never seen, and they... But the Miami Connection was a full movie and not production footage. And boom mics everywhere, and this is kind of mocking that style. Previously, when we did FDR American Badass, it's not so much like this. It's more of just a movie about FDR, who is in a wheelchair because he got polio from being bit by a werewolf, and he hates werewolves. He's glad his cack still works. He mentions that lots in the movie.
Okay.
He's like, my cack. I hope my cack still works. And he's played by the guy, I don't know, he was
Barry
on...
Barry Bostwick?
Yeah, Barry Bostwick.
I was looking at the cover of it.
Yeah. What was he on, Spin City, right? He was the mayor?
Barry Bostwick was a lot of different...
I thought he was the mayor on Spin City.
He was like Charlie's Angels, too, at some point, right?
I don't know.
He was in...
Weekend at Bernie's, too.
He was in... Rocky Horror Picture Show? No? Was that Barry Bostwick?
I don't know. Tim Curry?
No.
That's about all I remember from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
The other guy. Besides not Janet's husband... I don't know.
Can't help you. I've only seen the movie a couple times, so I'm not one of those crazy Rocky Horror people that want to,
not even
like,
when Meatloaf comes out,
go out
to
the, theater and reenact it with everybody.
I gotta learn how to play the sax.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't like it, I'm just not one of people that are, like, crazy.
Yeah, not, like, getting defense. Like, I like it.
I like this movie.
But anyway... When we first started watching this, too, I wasn't like, well, we told you.
You weren't too pumped, because the initial, you get some theme music by Steel Panther, a very ridiculous fake 80s band that is around nowadays, and they're just silly, and the song is like, it's just weird, because none of their other songs are like that. A lot of their songs are about, like, banging chicks and stuff like that, 80s type of things. Yeah. And
you know what it reminded me of? piss poor version of the Orgasmo theme song.
Kind of like, now you're a man, 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 man.
Except about sucking donkeys.
Yeah,
box.
This was like, the trainer has this, the it, trainer like if has you, disappeared.
It's
the
like if you took DVDA, which is the Trey and Matt's band, and you took Wesley Willis, and you combined it all together. Because like Wesley Willis had the Suck My Dog's Dick song.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of that, I guess.
Chronic schizophrenia.
But yeah, this movie is it's a movie within a movie, and it's just so, it's ridiculous. It's so very blatantly racist. That's one reason why the movie, quote-unquote, was never seen or released, because of racially insensitive.
Except in Germany.
Except in Germany.
Yeah.
In every other country, for obvious reasons. Germany kept it. Pool Boy 1 was destroyed by whalers, never to be seen by any human eyes.
I forgot about that.
It was made by, well, we said Ross Patterson, but his character, St. James Street James, and he made this movie when he was 10 years old, because his dad was a film producer or something like that. So, yeah, he made this movie when he was 10, and that's how he's looks so young and ravishing with his awesome eye patch.
Like a furry eye patch.
And he has some just ridiculous lines throughout the movie as he's explaining things. Like, just so many things. Just, like, the straight class hold the gay. Like, a lot of lines like that, it doesn't make any sense. And he's, like, shows his, like, a hole where his eye is. And he's like, do with that, America. And then it just cuts. And it's like, and then he has this woman, Peters.
Yeah.
Miss Peters.
His assistant.
His assistant. She
makes him rolled up lunch meat.
Yeah, and she just, like, says stuff. She's like,
she says
the panda crawled the tree.
Yes. Like, non sequiturs.
Just really weird and random.
Vacant stare.
I'm surprised at one point she didn't walk across the screen with, like, her boobs out.
Yeah, that's true. There were, like, boobs. A lot of boobs.
A lot of boobs in this movie.
A lot of dicks.
More dicks than I cared to see, even though I'm a woman.
It was the same dick, though.
It was the same dick.
In different costumes.
Never even wanted to see the one.
You only saw it three times.
I never wanted to see it.
The one time it was kind of dark, so you couldn't see it as much.
The first time, you could see the membrane from his scrotum stuck to that log he was sitting on. It was fanned out like a bat wing.
You killed Corey. No. Yeah, there were, like, some non-essential dick pics.
Yeah.
And then
it was pretty...
And then wonky boobs. I think the wonky boobs offended me more than the dicks in it. Dick in it.
Well, then you got, like, regular boobs later at the pool party.
Yeah.
Those girls have just, like, boobs.
We're fighting with lobsters. We're fighting with lobsters.
And then that other girl that was just in the background.
Yeah, just with boobs out.
Yeah.
There were, like...
And the Asian boobs in the beginning, they weren't weird.
Yeah, that's true.
Other than the fact
that they were momentarily clothed and then unclothed and then clothed again every time you went back for a different shot.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how this movie was. I feel like there was almost so much stuff in it. Like, as I was watching it, I think I felt like, this is awful. When is it going to end? And then, like, it would make me laugh so hard that I would, like, cry.
It is like that, though.
It's like a love-hate thing.
You're watching this bad movie, and it's bad on purpose, and it's bad... But then it's funny because it's just so ridiculous, and then they say funny things. Well, the main gist of the movie is that Vietnam veteran Sal Bando, played by Kevin Sorbo, who plays Jan Van Hammer, the fake actor, is tortured by his past as a pool boy. He returns home to Van Nuys, California, to a country he doesn't recognize, in which it seems only Mexicans run pool cleaning companies. Bando sets off on a mission to reclaim the glory of the white man and pool cleaning, because his best friend in Nam that we saw in the beginning, so dream was to become a pool cleaner and own a pool cleaning company and bang those sweet white women.
While their husbands were at work.
Yeah, I love the overdubbing of any black person's voice for whatever reason. It would always, like, and then it'd just be like, oh yeah, won't do that, uh-huh. Like, just like, I'm gonna make that pool cleaning company. Unnecessary overdubbing for whatever reason. Like, oh, we lost the audio here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen for the wife, too, at one point?
Yeah.
It was, like, a female character
Wife, when... I like the one guy's name. It was, like, Bucktown Sweatback. Or Sweetback.
I think it was Sweetback.
I couldn't remember. I just sure ever wrote it down. I think that was Mark Curry's actor's name. Yeah, Mark Curry of Hanging with Mr. Cooper fame.
Oh my god.
Is in this movie.
I didn't even realize that's who that was.
Yeah. A lot of weird cameos. You got That and Jason Mewes, Danny Trejo, the girl who played Jan Brady in the Brady Bunch movies.
Yeah, still making Jan faces.
Yeah, you recognize that guy from The Burbs, and I wouldn't have recognized that at all.
It was weird. Because
he's older, and it's like, I got it once you said it, but like it.
That's the only thing I remembered him from, because he creeped me out in that movie. He's like the creepy ginger neighbor. And he was the one, other than the, like, murdering old people, that scared me the worst, because he was fucking weird-looking. But yeah, he's in this, doing rails.
Yeah, Al Borland is in this movie. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Richard something, right?
I don't know his real name.
No, sad, nobody knows that guy's real name. Didn't he host, like, a fucking Family Feud for a long time?
He co-hosted that one Home Improvement show.
Wait, I thought I knew who you were talking about, but I don't think I do now.
Al Borland.
Oh, Al.
What's his real name?
Oh, God.
Richard Kern.
Yeah, I would never fucking know that.
Kern! Richard Kern. Yeah. Well, nobody knows his real name. He's just Al Borland. But
he had, like, puka shell necklace on.
Yeah, and a Hawaiian shirt, and he came in with shotguns blazing. Like, there's just so many random people in this movie and random, like, things like that. I mean, Kevin Sorbo alone, like, we were discussing earlier today, he did, like, everybody just knows him as Hercules.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't name anything else.
No, not one thing.
I could try to think of a sci-fi show he was on, and I kept thinking it was Stargate. One of the Stargate shows, but I was wrong. It was Andromeda.
Oh.
It was a syndicated sci-fi show that ran for like probably
yeah,
like 7
I remember
years
hearing about it, but I don't.
Yeah,
I
never watched it, and I remember a movie when we were younger. It was called Cull the Conqueror, and it was him and Tia Carrera in it.
Oh my God!
And it was I don't even remember anything really about it, except for I remember him being in it because Hercules was a big thing at the time. It was pretty popular.
It was a ballroom bash. Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. I bet if we watched, like, an episode of Hercules, there were probably some really ridiculous ones we could discuss on here.
Man.
Like, an episode of that and an episode of Xena.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because Xena and Hercules were, like, pretty on par. Wasn't there, like,
they
a line
crossed
in
over
this? Yeah, where he was just like, I haven't done a gay thing in my life, or whatever he said.
Wasn't her show, like, a spinoff of Hercules?
Yeah, she was on Hercules, okay. And then
Because, like, if they were so matched, there was a lot of, like, lesbo-erotica on Xena.
I think people just alluded to that because she had that, like, girl sidekick. So
Gabrielle?
So people were just like, she's a lesbian.
Guys, I never
And then a lot of lesbians apparently like Xena.
Well, I thought there was, like, the homoerotic thing, the joke he makes in this movie, I thought was in reference to Hercules, but I wasn't sure.
What did he say?
I don't know.
There were
like,
a lot
I've
of homoerotic
done,
jokes.
It's like, I've never done a homoerotic thing in my life, or something like that. It was just something like that in passing in this movie, and I was like, oh, it's probably about Hercules.
Yeah, maybe it was that, like, a homoerotic show.
That's
I don't remember
I
it being like that. I remember just...
I was just thinking if it paralleled the type of show that Xena was.
I never watched it religiously. It was a syndicated show, so I watched it sometimes. Like, Baywatch was kind of like that. Like, I'm sure there were people that watched every episode of Baywatch, but I think that, to me, that was just a show that... boobs.
Boobs swing.
And then, like... because it was... and then, like... or it was just like, hey, I'm just gonna watch this. This is silly. It's a dumb syndicated show. Like, there's a million of those. We could probably watch an episode from every single show like that. They're all VIP. Like, that... come on. That show is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Just this...
I never saw that show.
I just always wonder how some of these shows got made, like...
Were they all on Fox?
It's either Fox, WGN, or UPN.
WB, no.
Yeah, and they were just, like, syndicated, like, crap.
Also, like, Young Hercules with Ryan Gosling.
That was a thing?
Yeah, so he was Young Hercules.
Was it, like, a spin-off? Like, a prequel
show? It was around the same. I mean, they took place at the same time. Yeah, and Ryan Gosling, it was on for, like, 10 years.
He was Hercules?
Yeah, he was Young Hercules.
What?
Yeah.
He's not even, like, big.
They used to, like, spray him
He's
brown.
He's, like, a little scrawny
guy. He was scrawny. He was a kid. He was young.
He's
Hercules.
Still scrawny.
Hercules was half god, so.
Yeah, but, like, you look at Kevin Sorbo. He's like, brr. Even when in the cartoon, he's like, brr.
I don't think kids thought about it.
Whatever, man.
He wasn't Kevin Sorbo, okay? Ryan Gosling is not as good as Kevin Sorbo.
Wow. Well, let's just get back on track. Back on topic to the movie here.
How is that not on topic?
It's a woman in the room here.
I would like to see a remake of Drive with Kevin Sorbo in the title.
I watched that.
See?
Oh my God.
See? And I don't know, other Ryan Gosling movies. The Notebook with Kevin Sorbo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even Poor better.
Let's just start let's just start remaking every Ryan Gosling movie.
I'm sure Kevin Sorbo would love that.
In Kevin Sorbo.
Can pay his rent.
This week.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has plenty of money saved from the Hercules days and... Pool boy. I don't think anybody probably made anybody doing this movie because
I think they might have lost money.
Yeah.
Probably just did it as a favor. Like, hey, let's be.
It looked like they shot it all in a single afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And but it's always fun when people do stuff like that because it's like sometimes you just want to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people sometimes when like Machete comes out and the new one just came out and people are like, why would Mel Gibson and Sofia Vergara and all these people be in this crap? Well, because sometimes you just want to have fun. You can not make a whole lot of money and just hang out with fun people for, like, a month.
Yeah.
Or in just that case, you could make quite a bit of money.
Yeah, but, like, even if you took a pay cut to just be in some shitty, just fun, stupid movie.
Yeah.
Nobody complains about high-profile actors doing really small, independent films.
No, but when it's, like, something silly, it's like, why...
This one's artsy.
Or like when anytime that anybody's in, like, a kid's movie or something, like... A lot of times they suck, but it's like...
What are you doing, Ice Cube?
Dave Matthews.
But, like, somebody's just like, okay, I have kids, and my kids would love to see me in Scooby-Doo. Or, like, Yogi Bear. Though not everybody in Yogi Bear was in it because they have kids. T.J. Miller's in it, and I don't really understand
gosh.
Why.
He
went to the audition dressed as a ranger and brought
terrifying.
A bear with him.
Well, didn't Robert Rodriguez build that whole, like, soundstage just to make the Spy Kids movies for his kids?
Yeah, he made the Spy Kids movies and that Shark Boy Lava Girl.
Yeah.
There's nothing like... I mean, sometimes you just gotta do stuff like... Like, I mean, even, like, Ben Affleck, he's gonna play Batman, and, like, I'm sure who wouldn't want to play Batman, but one thing is, like, that's, like, my kids, like, are like, yes, my dad's gonna be Batman.
Yeah.
Like, how fucking cool is that for, like, to be that dad and be like, yeah, I'm Batman.
As long as it's not like, yeah, I was Daredevil. Because we just want to forget that ever.
Yeah, I was Val Kilmer.
I was listening to How Did This Get Made, and they were talking about Daredevil and how there's a director's cut, and they took a bunch of, like, the romance stuff out, and they added in, like, 30... It's, like, 30 minutes longer, but they took stuff out.
Now you can see Daredevil.
And apparently, like, it's actually,
Daredevil.
Like, a halfway decent movie. Because, like, none of the actors are all that terrible in
it. I don't even remember
it's just
woman
a poorly
it.
Written movie, and it just kind of doesn't...
Isn't he it's, blind?
Yeah. I love Daredevil. I think I love that comic. The Frank Miller ones from the late 80s, early 90s. I fucking love Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith wrote Daredevil. Ben Affleck wrote Daredevil. That's, like, why they... were like, hey, want to play Daredevil? Because he wrote Daredevil comics.
Oh,
so,
Affleck.
It's kind of... I was watching Jersey Girl the other night.
Oh, my God.
I love that movie.
I just love... Well, you love Kevin Smith.
I do love Kevin Smith, so maybe, like, it taints my, like, appreciation
for
that movie.
Your view askew?
But I, like, it's... Yeah, it's my view is askew. But I like that. I don't have problems with that movie. I think it's, like, it's a romantic comedy, and people were like, J-Lo, Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
She dies in the beginning, and...
Yeah, she's not spoilers. Seen again. Yeah,
she's not even in the rest of the movie, and George Carlin is great in that movie.
It's
like the last
his dad, right?
It's the last movie George Carlin did, and he's great in it, yeah, as
I did
dad.
Like Jersey Girl, yeah.
And Liv Tyler's awesome.
I just always love Ben Affleck. I don't care. Like, I don't care what anybody
like,
says.
He's been a couple stinkers, like...
I was obsessed with him when I was younger.
Reindeer Games, because his name's like
games.
Rudolph, Rudy in that movie, and that's why it's called Reindeer
so
Games.
I liked it.
That's why the movie's called Reindeer
Games.
His name's Rudy. Rudolph.
With Charlize Theron.
Yeah. What was another one? Paycheck. That was kind of like a little, it's a John Woo movie, too.
Wait, with,
it was like time travel and stuff, and Uma Thurman.
Yeah, I saw that, but I don't remember
Like, he left
it.
Clues for himself, and, like,
you like
Memento. Figure it out.
I was just thinking that.
Or, like, time travel. I don't know. Anyways, we're way off topic. We're talking about Ben Affleck. But, one thing I did learn from this movie is that, excuse me, Will Smith killed Pat Morita just so he could remake The Karate Kid for his kid. That bastard. Can't even believe. And I like how, there are so many racist moments in this movie where they were making fun of Mexicans and the Vietnamese, and When he was in Vietnam, he kept calling any Vietnamese persons in the Sidewinders.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I've never heard that, like, slur before. It was clearly, like, referring. And then he was like, yeah, and you're always eating dogs and cats, and your driving sucks, too. Like, one after another.
Just blatant racism.
Yeah, and, like, what's the difference between a Mexican and an elevator?
Oh, yeah.
An elevator can raise a child.
Yes. There's that one. Like, what was the one where, like, they kill that Mexican guy and he's in the pool? They flop him into the pool and he's like, no, that's what I call a wetback.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. There's some of them where I was just like, you still do that white person thing where you're like, oh, okay to laugh, or I don't know.
Yeah, and I like when he was in Vietnam before he came back and then he got that letter from his wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What did it say? Like, something about she
misses you.
She misses you, and by she, I mean my pussy.
Yeah,
and there was a stick person, and with it said she, and there's an arrow drawn to the crotch.
Yeah. Oh, with a wig on, or like a hair on it, yeah. The stick person. I like the memo from the beginning. Wow.
It's just so stupid. It's funny.
I like the memo from the beginning where I was like, the war is over. The president of the United States. Or when I was just a slip of paper. Because it is like war movies. They just hand someone a piece of paper.
Yeah, the war is
like
over.
Official.
But the war was ended just right before the guy died. Like, he couldn't, didn't even have to die. Yeah. We would have waited like a few minutes.
They were just like having a normal dialogue and bullets were like flying by. CGI bullets.
And the
like hitting stuff.
And they like show like the guy throwing the bucket of blood on him. It's like it's supposed to be like poorly made.
Yeah.
There's constant boom mics. You see people in the mirrors all the time.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Jan Van Hammer, Kevin Sorbo, he walks into the house and you see St. James Street James as a child with hookers on the couch doing coke and he's like, oh, we're shooting today? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, wanna do some blow? And he's like, all right, only three lines. Just like, damn, this kid. He's just so, like, unbelievable. And I liked his, before he comes back to the States, he has that whole, like, monologue about getting addicted to heroin and then having to kick it cold turkey and, like,
sweating and vomiting.
Sweating and vomiting.
I have to be here for 13 years.
And they're just showing all this, like, stock footage. I mean, this movie's full of stock footage. Vietnam shows stock footage. Anytime they're driving on a highway, they kept showing that same, like, highway scene with that, like, Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the Mexican guys he kills is like, I don't want to die in stock footage.
And then the car explodes.
Yeah.
That almost reminded me of Troma. They always use, like, the same car explosion in, like, 12 of their movies. Like, they filmed it once, and it made sense because it's that car. But in other movies, they, like, didn't have that same car. But it's, like, this car and it goes up where it hits and it's like they had this money that could do this one giant stunt and then they just use that same footage so many times.
They'll never know.
And I did like the part where he goes to the wrong house.
Yeah.
It's obviously fake, but like they play it off as real. Like he goes to the house to tell the woman his wife died and she even like says the exact same things as the lines that he's supposed to be saying with, like, I thought they had regulations at this job, so things like this wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
He's like, Vietnam doesn't have regulations. And she's like, Vietnam? Motherfucker works at Burger King.
What did she say? It was like on the grill, or the fry grill or whatever. The fry team or something.
Yeah, and you know, like how she's like, they have regulations, like, something like that. Just so ridiculous. I don't know. And then when his wife and his kid get murdered, Brian Callen plays this pool boy who, Brian Callen you might know from Mad TV, and he's on Joe Rogan's podcast like all the fucking time, so if you listen to that, he's always on there. But he plays a Mexican pool boy whose van gets stolen by Kevin Sorbo, and he ends up murdering his wife and kid. Well, he has a kid, but he's been gone for like 25.
But the kid was born on a leap year.
So he's technically 24, but 24 minus whatever is 6.
Yep.
I don't know. So he looks like a six-year-old, but he's 24. That's why the neighbor could have sex with him.
Yeah, that neighbor having sex joke I didn't understand because I forgot about the beginning part, and I was like, this is still sick. I was like, I don't care.
But that's why she was able to get into culinary school, because she had sex with him.
Yeah.
And it was a foundation set up in his name. Because that makes sense.
No, that's
just tell him that you bald him.
You bald.
But then when he goes to the pool, it's just dummies floating in the pool, and he grabs like the pool net and like scoops their
like an arm floating. One of the first, the body was like a body of like an old balding man dummy or something.
Yeah,
like a little kid.
And then he crap. I can't remember what I was gonna say.
The pool.
Oh, so they're thinking about the thing breaking. You're talking about the arm breaking?
Yeah.
Earlier in the movie, the shotgun breaks. He's like double shotgunning and shooting. And then
the shot comes off of one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to revive. He's like going to revive his kid. And he's like, no, you're way too little. You're clearly dead. What am I wasting my time for? And then he starts like trying to revive his wife. Starts making out with her. Rips her shirt open. Takes a couple Polaroids. And then he starts essentially going to bang her, but then they end up not showing
like
that
massaging
part.
Her boobs,
yeah.
Trying to get her to come
yeah, like,
back
no!
to life.
Yeah, like, this is a good...
Oh, and that girl's from something, too. Like, the one that played his wife, she had been in, what's the one with, oh, God, Reese Witherspoon, Legally Blonde, but she played one of her friends, but then when she was younger, it was, like, in, like, Beekman's World? Or something.
What?
I do remember that show, but I don't...
Wasn't that a show?
What was his wife's name?
I don't remember.
Rita?
Maybe.
Was his wife's name Rita?
I don't know. I don't remember. And then, more recently, she was on, like, Weeds or something, or some HBO show.
Oh, no, this is Jan Brady I found. Never mind. One weird thing, what was their obsession with, like, Sidney Moncrief?
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about.
It had to be some kind of inside joke.
It was weird, though. Like, what a weird, like, NBA reference.
Yeah.
And then, like, he shows up at the end, but it's not really him.
Yeah.
It could have been. Like, they could, I guess, maybe really got him, but it wasn't. I looked it up on here. Some guy.
Well, it's like, that guy's pretty skinny to have been in the NBA.
There's some, like, skinnier guys in the NBA.
Yeah.
Nobody in the NBA is, like, fucking huge.
I know.
Like, this isn't
like
the Monstars. This isn't Space Jam, where, like, the Monstars are, like... Weird enough, when right before Halloween, I was at Best Buy, and they had, like, a horror section. And in the horror movie, like, special Halloween movie section was Space Jam.
So scary.
And it wasn't put there like somebody did as a joke. Well, maybe one of the workers did. But, like, the tag was there and everything. It wasn't like,
Halloween,
oh, somebody just placed it over here because they were, like, being silly or they just didn't want to buy it. Like, it was legitimately placed next to, like, other kids, like, Hocus Pocus and, like, Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin and then, like, Space Jam.
That is weird.
Like, oh, that's a weird...
I mean, it's not Halloween-themed,
it's
but...
It's gotta be terrifying
to
face a bunch of cartoons
it is,
basketball.
It is a crazy... It's terrifying
they
thought.
They do steal basketball players' souls.
Yeah. I mean, the scariest part was Michael Jordan playing baseball. That was the scariest part of
that
movie.
That was scary for everyone.
When, what was with the random Schweppes ad?
Yeah, and then there was that, like, don't drink and drive ad, too, the PSA that was,
yeah.
like, spliced in there. I don't know.
The Schweppes thing was really weird. Like, nothing like drinking a cold Schweppes when your wife and kid just got murdered.
Yeah.
And they look at the camera and it's like, well, Schweppes...
And it cuts to the Schweppes being poured in a glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, Schweppes okay with that? I don't know.
Well, I was also thinking about... They had a total of, like, 2 licensed songs in there.
Yeah.
Like, did they actually pay for these songs?
The songs
just
that they
put
were...
them in the movie?
Yeah.
What was the one, Dance Hall Days?
Yeah. Dance Hall Days.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of playing Vice City.
They used that song a lot.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too, the licensing on, like, the actual 80s songs. I was like, wait,
that cost too much.
Yeah.
To get the rights to...
Whatever.
To get those. I liked when he was also in the garage sharpening stuff. And he's having, like, the visions of his wife, and she's like, yeah, that's why I hated you, because you're always sharpening things. And then his kid is like, thanks, oh, hey, Dad, you want to play catch? Oh, yeah, we can't, because I'm dead. Now I got to go play catch with Hitler. Yeah. And then Hitler's like, later on, he's like, your kid sucks at baseball. As he's playing the saxophone in, like, an alley, what looked like to be, like, a makeshift alleyway.
Yeah.
With a swastika on the, like, door. Wall. That was just really... The saxophone thing is, like, a very 80s thing. They have, like, a sax. It reminded me of Lost Boys.
Oh.
In the opening, there's that guy, the big, muscly guy with the long hair playing the sax.
True.
So it's a very 80s thing. And then his wife was getting a lap dance from a clown.
That was terror. I'm not even afraid of clowns, but that was weird.
And then the clown ended up coming back into play when he paints his van as clown. What's it called?
The only raping
Tootin' Timmy, the only raping clown in town. And he meant to say rapping.
But forgot the P.
He forgot! It was Ross Patterson playing the character. He doesn't play, in FDR, he doesn't play as many characters, but he plays like this like southern Republican senator that they're trying to get the vote for in the South, and he's like, he doesn't understand that, like, because he's like, on the thing it said repube, and he just keeps saying about he's a repube, and it's like a whole, he's like, I do declare! He's like one of those type of southern characters. It's very over the top, just like all of his characters in this.
Yeah.
But Tootin' Timmy was ridiculous. He's like, why'd you come out of another man's house at 9 in the morning? Because he gets pulled over by the police because they're looking for the pool boy. And he goes, well, we were just rock climbing in there. And he's like, and by rock climbing, I mean sex. And then the two police officers were like, yeah, we like to rock climb too. Can we just rock? We should all rock climb together.
That guy was so cool.
And then, yeah, like, he's so cool. And then he's like, you want to hear a rap? And they're like, sure. And he's like, my name is Timmy and I'm the best. Who wants anal?
Oh my god. Whoa. Big laugh.
It's just so ridiculous, because like he actually thought he was gonna like do some sort of rap, and
part of the like mentality, I think, like the just the mindset of this movie reminded me of watching Tim and Eric. Just like the random ass, like just stuff that pops up, and I'm like,
a little less random,
less weird, yeah, definitely. Because it's like this
actually has, yeah, this actually, even though it's like a couple different stories, like there is like stories. Like I could definitely see those parts. Like there's a couple times in FDR too where it's like, okay, this is like just like a guy pooping into a jar because they're celebrating FDR's win, and he said that's how he celebrates it. But that's like a
party,
it's a weird like Tim and Eric like thing to do. It's just like stuff like that. And, I mean, it's some weird, like, I don't know, weirdness.
Remember the guy, what did he throw, a cigarette and lit that stage, that boom mic right around fire?
And that's honestly one of my favorite parts of the whole movie is when he lights the boom guy on fire and you're like, what the fuck is going on? But then they interview the boom mic guy, and the boom mic guy is played by Nick Thune, who is a really funny comedian. So, and I just love his scene how he's now doing recordings of tennis.
Yeah.
For sleep aid audio.
He's programs. Like, I think I got enough for today. He's like, oh yeah, make fun of the Burn Vic.
Oh man.
Just like a weird, I don't know. I don't know why I think that part is so funny. And yeah, and then there's like the naked guy. There's the naked chicks everywhere. There's just racist overdubbing everywhere. There's when he kills all the Mexicans all the time, he has the pool like net with like blades on the end.
It's like a battle axe made out of a pool net.
Yeah.
The blood is super CGI.
Weird. It's almost like it was done like MS Paint or something. Yeah. It's just like real. Or one time the cop is holding the picture and it's a drawn hand, and that was literally done in like MS Paint.
It was MS Paint. Yeah. They had like the picture of the cop showing himself.
It was a drawn hand. Like, just like so random. This movie is just, like, one of the most random movies. Like, he, like, has the whole quinceañera plan for the Mexicans when they get there.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, my son died before he was 15, so you'd never know if he wanted to be a little girl. Some sort of half thing.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. It's just so unbelievably random. And anytime anybody picked up the phone kept ringing.
Yeah.
Kept ringing. And that was also really weird. I also like the part where he's doing another montage and yeah, Betsy Ross talks to him.
Yeah.
She's like, I didn't stitch this flag from Mexico. Just all these like
buffering off the spick and span thing off the pool, pool cleaner, Mexican pool cleaner.
Yeah, and he has this business montage where he's taking over the turf of the Mexicans. And another ridiculous part of this movie is when they add in new sex scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when they show the naked guy, because the whoever was putting this movie out wanted more gratuitous nudity. And so they had the naked guy multiple times, which Gina loved. Mm. And then they had these sex scenes that went on forever. And he's just like, and he had to play him because Kevin Sorbo's character wouldn't do it.
No nudity clause.
Even though there was no
So nudity. He had to play him, and he's just like, it's just like these typical like porn scenes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, hey, I'm just making a pie. Let's fuck. Just like stuff like that. And then she's having sex with him. The grandpa's like in the room watching.
That part was really weird.
Yeah. And he's like, I won't let you down, sir. You've done a lot for this country.
He was like a vet.
And then he walks into the kitchen in like a business suit with a briefcase, which doesn't make any sense. And then she's blending a bowl of mashed potatoes with dildos on the end. And like, you almost think that nobody's going to say anything about it. And then he just goes, why are you making mashed potatoes with dildos? And she's like, well, I gave
The spinners or whatever.
To the beaters. Yeah, the beaters to the Goodwill. And this is all I have. And the kids are going to be home soon. And then he takes them and he just goes, whoa, whoa. And then just dildos like flopping around. He's like, dude, like pushing them in. It's just like so fucking weird. It's just like such a goofy, just an unbelievably goofy guy. But yeah, the neighbors come over at one point and have a pool party that was really funny. That was a guy had the cheese and there was a flaming wheel of cheese.
They had Gouda. Yeah.
They had Gouda. That's why the Mexican guy was so pumped. We also learned that codes for sex are lemonade and rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
If you're offering somebody that, you want some sex. And also that Sal Bando, the pool boy, does not take sloppy seconds. Even from his own son.
No.
Just
not Jan Brady's.
And then they all laughed for like 5 minutes at the pool party when they killed the valet.
Yeah.
They just laughed.
And that girl with her jugs out, I was just like, whoa, because there's a lot of reverberation happening
yes,
in there.
Yes,
I was like, whoa.
Lots of boobs shaking. And I did like the one thing, I did like they mentioned how Danny Trejo's character invented selling roses at bars and restaurants.
Yeah.
And it made me think how stupid that always is. Anytime you're anywhere and you see that.
Yeah, Bobby's Tap.
And how you're like, yeah, they did used to do it all the time when we used to go
this
there.
This lady used to come in all the time. And then she switched it up and they were, like, weird, like, metal ones that were probably made out of, like refurbished Coke cans or something. Like, they were, like, painful.
That was weird because, like, especially there. Yeah. Of all places, like, that was, like, weird.
This place must be packed.
Yeah.
Like, my God, who sold these roses? Yeah, that was weird.
But, like, it makes you feel like, and he's like, oh, if you don't buy it, you're cheap, and if you do, you're just a douchebag, so you don't get laid either way. And it's stupid because, like, we were, when we were in St. Louis over the summer, and we were at we're sitting outside at a restaurant, and it was, like, a bar, and we're having a bunch of drinks and stuff, and then this guy walking up and down the street was selling them. Me and Kayla were both like, how, like, stupid, like, who buys these? It's like a ripoff. You have to pay, like, $10, and what, so you can look cool?
Chad's brother-in-law always used to buy his wife, like, roses from wherever, like, if there's some weirdo selling them.
It's always some weird guy that's just so, like, overly priced, and, like, the only people you ever see doing it is, like, clearly, like, somebody that's on, like, a first date.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You
I've
know
gotten
I mean?
A rose from, like, first date that they were just selling. It was, like, Valentine's, and then, like, I clearly knew that they were just, like, $1, like, just to buy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, it's not like, ooh, thank you.
It's so thoughtful.
Yeah. Like, I just watched you do that, so, and I mean, I know that they're everywhere in here.
I love last-minute gifts.
Yeah, and then at the end, Jan Van Hammer dies. The actor dies, and they have to get a stand-in, who's Jason Mewes, but he can't have lines because he's not part of SAG because he's just a stand-in, and then he gets kicked out because he couldn't imitate a SAG actor or something like that. I don't know. It was just really silly. And
he is, like, starting to get some kind of, like, meth face situation happening.
Oh, he something got... He has upper, like, the front dentures. That's why his face looks like that.
Something's happening.
Because of doing crack.
Yeah, okay.
And,
There you go.
I think Jason Mewes is now 4 or 5 years sober.
How old is he?
I read something. They started
about
a podcast because of it, like to start doing it. It was called, like, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. And each episode, they would, like, for the first, like, 20 episodes, was him telling the story about basically when he was fucked up and why he wasn't around anymore.
Yeah.
And everything that happened. And it was really crazy. And then the podcast essentially became a way to, like, keep him sober, kind of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's, like, I think it's 4 years now. Like,
damn.
Sober. But he was, like, really fucked up. And he obviously fucked up enough where he had to get front dentures. And that's why his face looks kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have his actual teeth anymore right there.
Yeah.
He is.
That is bizarre.
Yep. I did like that there's a whole, this other subplot with this Russian guy, Gary Newman, who is in a wheelchair and he's basically like Stephen Hawking, except for he calls Stephen Hawking, like, a cocksucker.
He has that robot
voice. And he has the robot voice, like, ha, ha, ha. I always like how they... on, like, shows that Stephen Hawking is on, they credit Stephen Hawking. Like, they could have got anybody to come in. Like, anything. They could have just made that on the computer. But, like, like on anytime he's on Simpsons or Futurama, it says Stephen Hawking as himself.
Bonsai Buddy.
There, yeah, Bonsai Buddy, the purple monkey on the computer back in, like, the late 90s. Yeah. Yeah, you can make it and be like, ha, 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 ha,
yeah,
ha,
we used
ha,
to, like, I think we used to just be like, laughter, laughter. Fuck. Like, I think that's all we ever did with
it. It was so stupid, but it was funny. But, yeah, this guy, anytime he's laughing, it just turns into laughter, 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 ha, ha, laughter, laughter, laughter. Yeah, just really, and then he was paralyzed because he was having sex with the pool boy's wife, but she got a call from him, and he was trying to come, but when he did... he, like, jerked weird, and he, like, got paralyzed in his face like that, in that position. So when he stabbed the pool boy at the end, he's like, finally, this face is accurate.
Appropriate.
And then when he died, what was he saying when he died? He's like, ow, 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 ow,
yeah.
Ow, 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 mm-hmm. ow, and then he just died.
I am dead now.
And they're like, this is awkward.
Yeah.
When he had the hand inside
the
wheel.
Yeah,
it was just like the whole thing was weird at the end. And then Jan was alive. He faked his death because it was a paternity suit. Because that's what people do. And but yeah, it's just a really ridiculous movie. It's random. It doesn't make sense. It's all over the place.
I can honestly say that, like, when we started watching it last night, I was like, I cannot do this. Like, and then when Ryan told me, like, we were going to watch it with you, I was like, okay, that's probably the only way that we'll actually watch it. And then, I don't know, now I think I would tell people that it's funny.
It is funny. And, like, FDR is the same way. It's a movie where it's just silly and stupid, and it's funny. And I want to see his other movie that came out, but it didn't. I tried to download or something called Darnell Dawkins, Mouth Guitar Legend.
Oh, my God.
He has one coming out called... Helen Keller versus Night Wolves.
Oh, you were telling us about
Can't wait for that, because it's just ridiculous. Because it gets, like, other people to be in these movies. Like, in FDR, there's cameos by a bunch of people. And you're like, he just must be somebody. Like, people just, like, know him.
Maybe his dad actually is a
producer. Yeah, I don't know. And he was actually going to have a show on IFC, St. James Street James Presents. And it was going to be, like, short little ridiculous movies. Mm-hmm. But that ended up not happening. For whatever reasons, I think it would have fit perfectly on that channel.
Yeah, he has to be some sort of runs in some circles. People know he's ridiculous.
Yeah, and another movie I actually saw with him, and there's quite a few people in that too, and I don't know if he wrote it or whatever. He's in it, but it's called Screwball, the Ted Whitfield story, and it's about the sport of wiffle ball. It's actually on Netflix. It's a really ridiculous movie about this guy who was like this wiffle ball champion, and... he retires, he comes out of retirement to, like, you know, get his redemption back in wiffle ball, and it's just the dumbest thing. I was like, I don't know, it was kind of funny. It was like it was like a style of, like, a mockumentary, but about wiffle ball. And, but, so yeah, I mean, it's just a silly movie. It is funny, Pool Boy. I would recommend it to people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on Netflix, you want something stupid and funny to watch, turn on Pool Boy Drowning Out the Fury. It has some
then
really ridiculous moments and laughs in it, because it's purposely bad. I mean, how I found about it was I came across a cover on Netflix, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Pool Boy and Kevin Sorbo? Like, all right, I'll give this a shot. Why not? Actually, one person who absolutely hated it was Cody.
Really?
Cody, like, really fucking hated it. Which was a weird thing, because, like, when we used to do the one podcast and we would watch some movies here and there, any movie that, like, everybody really, like, enjoyed, even though sometimes they were bad ones, like, he fucking hated them. But then when everybody else, like, hated them, he really liked them.
Yeah.
Like, not on purpose, because we would, like, usually watch the movies separately.
That's sometimes,
if we would,
like,
do that.
Dan and I are,
and,
like, that.
Yeah, and we'd be like, this one, Cody, like, he fucking didn't think anything was funny. He just thought it was the fucking biggest waste of time. And, like, it's just weird. And, like, Thanksgiving was another one. Like, he just thought it was the dumbest fucking thing. I was like, what the fuck? It's a fucking movie about a killer turkey. Like, what did you think? What did you think we were going to watch? But then I think we watched Orca, the killer whale movie. And he loved the shit out of that movie. And that movie is fucking horrible. Like, it's like Jaws.
Yeah.
But, there's no redeeming values.
Yeah. We saw
that. You see, like, a whale fetus, like, plop out and die, and it's, like, gross, and, like...
We saw the, like, well, we saw about that in that one Blackfish movie.
They talked about Orca?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
They did.
It's bad. It's just a bad movie.
They're like, this movie thinks orcas are bad. They're not. That's pretty much the extent of it.
Another movie we watched, too, was, like, A Day of the Dolphin, about dolphins that were being trained. And then these terrorist groups control the dolphins, and they want them to kill the president with a bomb on them.
Oh, no.
But, like, the dolphins kind of talk, and they're like, but like half the movie is like you're watching like this information about dolphins. It's just really weird. I don't know. It was George C. Scott was in it. Like,
why?
It's like Day of the Dolphin. Like, what is that? I thought it was gonna be like dolphins were like trying to murder the president. But it was just like he was on a boat and they were like controlled him to like put a bomb on the dolphin.
Oh.
Just dumb.
I don't know, man. That sounds dumb.
But the description sounds awesome when you, like, see, like, dolphins are being controlled to try to kill the president. You're like, that sounds awesome. It sounds ridiculous. Dolphins that can talk.
That's a dangerous territory, I guess, we've entered with you in doing this. It's like, sometimes, like, I don't know.
Like, the next week, we're going to do Manborg. We found it.
Yes.
We got our hands on some
copies. Is that the trailer we watched last week?
Yes, some copies of Manborg. The movie looks like one entire FMV sequence from a Sega CD video game. That's the best way I can describe it. Go out and watch it. You can find it on your own. It's available to rent on Amazon for like $2-3. We got our hands on a copy of it. So we're going to watch Manborg next week. It looks on the same level as Pool Boy. Some ridiculous. It looks like a lot of green screen. Like, and it looks like FMV sequences from Sega CD.
It looks like the entire movie is green screen.
Yeah, it looks absolutely ridiculous. So, we're just on some more ridiculous things. Maybe we won't always be so over the top, but usually they're always the best. Like, we would like examples. Like, you're like, oh, this is what we get ourselves into. Like, Shakma.
Yeah.
Like, that might be cool, like this killer baboon, and it's just like this weird thing with this RPG game, and it's like...
Let's just throw a killer baboon
into the mix. It's just like, that's what sometimes you get, like the description, even the trailer makes it seem like this. And you watch it, and you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
That was unexpected.
Yeah, that happens. Sometimes you'll find some gems, sometimes you find some stinkers.
Miami Connection.
Miami Connection is a huge gem, but so yeah. Go out and watch Pool Boy next week. Manborg, check it out. Find it on your own means, whatever possible, DVD, Blu-ray, rental, whatever you have to do to see it.
Wink.
Wink. Wink. It's like a St. James Street James thing. Wink. Hold the gay. Yeah, so next week, Manborg, check that shit out. So if we're it's late. B movie breakdown. I'm Corey.
I'm Gina.
I'm Ryan.
And we'll see you later.
It's the best of the worst. B movie.